The movie business is calendar-driven, and Christmas week is always the year's biggest at the box office. But this year, the calendar works against the film industry. Hollywood will essentially lose two Fridays in a row, because very few people go to movies on Christmas Eve or on New Year's Eve. In fact, audiences are so sparse that the movie studios are waiting until tomorrow to open their major attractions. We asked Bob Mondello to tell us which pictures were worth lining up for, and he came up with two for very different audiences.
Let me steal a little thunder from the 10 best list I'll do next week to say that The Talented Mr. Ripley will definitely be right at the top. Based on a Patricia Highsmith novel from the 1950s, it's about a man who thinks he can live the sweet life by living a lie. Tom Ripley, played by Matt Damon, is a working-class guy whose only brushes with high society come when he plays piano at hotel receptions. That's where he meets a wealthy shipbuilder who spots a school patch on his borrowed jacket and thinks Tom attended college with his son. Tom doesn't correct that impression and is soon being asked to go and find the son, one Dickie Greenleaf, played by Jude Law, who's bumming around in Italy rather than running the family business. The shipbuilder offers to pay Tom if he can persuade Dickie to come home, and attracted by a lifestyle he's only ever dreamed of, Tom heads for a carefully arranged chance encounter on an Italian beach.
Look at it then.
Dickie Greenleaf?
Who's that?
It's Tom. Tom Ripley.
Tom Ripley?
We were at Princeton together.
Okay. Did we know each other?
Hello. Well, I knew you, so I suppose you must have known me.
Princeton's like a fog. America's like a fog. This is Marge Sherwood. Tom, sorry, what is it?
Ripley.
How do you do?
How do you do, Marge?
Come and have lunch with us before you go, yes?
Sure, anytime.
Well, coincidence.
Having gained access, Tom insinuates himself more and more into Dickie's life and finds his allegiance shifting. Soon he's a sort of double agent, conspiring with Dickie against his father and playing an increasingly delicate game of deception, living in Dickie's house, even wearing his clothes, and becoming as infatuated with the man as with the lifestyle. The problem is that the object of his affections has a short attention span, as Marge, played by Gwyneth Paltrow, is well aware.
The thing with Dickie, it's like the sun shines on you, and it's glorious. And then he forgets you, and it's very, very cold.
So I'm learning.
When you have his attention, you feel like you're the only person in the world. That's why everybody loves him. It's always the same. Whenever someone new comes into his life, Freddie, Fausto, Peter Smith Kingsley, he's wonderful. Have you met him? Especially you.
No.
Yeah. That's just the boys.
That Dickie will finally tire of Tom is inevitable. That Dickie will disappear while on a trip with Tom is something else. Tom's run with the in-crowd would seem to be over without him, but Dickie's disappearance is the kind of mystery that can be manipulated if one's talents include forging signatures and imitating voices, which Tom can do well enough to fool, say, a landlady. Of course, those tricks don't work so well with close friends, and Dickie did have a few.
Did this place come furnished? Look, it doesn't look like Dickie. It's really horrible, isn't it? It's so, bourgeois. You know, in fact, the only thing that looks like Dickie is you.
Hardly.
Have you done something to your hair?
Is there something you'd like to say, Freddie?
What?
Do you have something you'd like to say?
I think I'm saying it. Something's going on.
As lie begets lie, Tom Ripley's task becomes more complex. His is a Hitchcockian dilemma, but writer and director Anthony Minghella is not playing Hitchcock here any more than he was in The English Patient. He's made The Talented Mr. Ripley too romantic and lush to be pigeonholed as a mere thriller, and too subversive to seem a morality tale. What Minghella wants is for viewers to understand when the title character says he'd rather be a fake somebody than a real nobody, to identify identify with Tom Ripley, even as his dark side emerges, to root for him, and then have those feelings come back to haunt them. Casting Matt Damon helps quite a bit in this regard, since he has no trouble seeming warm and vulnerable, even with someone else's blood staining his shirt, and the rest of the cast is just as well chosen. Also enticing are the Italian cityscapes, so intimately photographed they practically turn into characters, and a score filled with period jazz that eases you into the world of these golden rich kids, as if you too were to their manner born. Taken together, all these elements make the talented Mr. Ripley a deeply seductive story, which is perfect because it's a story about seduction. If a more disquieting picture has opened this year, I didn't see it. The Talented Mr. Ripley is not, however, a film the whole family can enjoy together, and at this time of year a lot of people need one of those, so let's shift gears from the sublime to the truly ridiculous. Galaxy Quest, a movie about the fictional crew of a TV starship that has boldly gone where lots of TV starships have gone before, into reruns. The actors who once played the stern commander, the first mate who's only half-human, the communications babe, the heavily accented chief mechanic, and the ship's youthful navigator now spend all their time signing autographs at Galaxy Quest conventions. During one of these, they're approached by some odder-than-usual fans who turn out to be real aliens in need of help. They think the Galaxy Quest episodes just reaching them some 20 light-years away are documentaries. They've built a real spaceship based on the one in the show in hopes that the Galaxy Questers will save them from a race of evil reptiles. And if these actors could tell a digital transmogrifier from a beryllium crystal, they no doubt would.
The enemy is matching velocity.
We're out of the fast time!
Gosh, I'm doing it. I'm repeating the darn computer.
Hi, guys. Listen, they're telling me the generators won't take it. The ship is breaking apart and all that. Just FYI.
I know this sounds like a one-joke premise, but the joke turns out to have a surprising number of permutations in Galaxy Quest. Tim Allen is the commander, Sigourney Weaver is the babe, and Alan Rickman is the guy wearing weird ears and sounding vaguely Shakespearean are all a hoot. The special effects are pretty splendid, and the humor is bright enough that if you've watched even just a couple of Star Trek episodes, you'll find Galaxy Quest more fun than a barrel of tribbles. I'm Bob Mandela.